Larry Niles. Now, we were speaking earlier about the whole concept of computers. I was saying, Larry, you know, is there something online where we can find out information about you? And you'd said yes. You know, some of your friends had set up things for you on Facebook and other yes. places like that online. But you talked about how, for you, it's about the pen. Now, talk to me about music and you, and what that means to you as a musician.
Well, it all started, I guess, at the age of two. All my sisters and my mother were musicians.
Mm-hmm.
A few brothers too. We were only 15. You know?
Holy moly! I have two, and that's like plenty.
And we're 14 still. You know?
Wow!
I mean, that's,
really?
Very good. And I'm one of the youngest. Well, I'm the youngest of the boys.
Okay.
And there's three ladies after me. So I won't name them all. I just don't have that memory tonight. But anyway, I was born in Amherst, Nova Scotia.
Yes. Just across the border?
Yeah. But my father came from New Brunswick, so I'm Acadian.
Mm-hmm.
And Niles seems like it's maybe German, but it sounds English, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. It's not English, but it sounds English, so yeah. Let's say it's English.
I guess it's because you get kind of used to a name a certain way, right, and decide, oh, that's an English name. It's a,
well, it was always in English for me. I mean, Niles is Niles. It's good to be here.
Oh, I'm glad to have you here in at CJMQ. So Amherst, Nova Scotia, one of 15 children, and already a family where music was a part of the home. And a part of your lives.
Yes.
What would have been the musical influences in the house, or what would we have heard playing if we were to walk into the Niles household?
Well, my sisters would sing. They didn't take courses. You know, 15. I mean, my father wasn't a lawyer.
Yeah.
But they all had half talent.
Right.
So they would do the voicings and of songs that were modern in the States. You know, of vocal groups. You know. While making ketchup one morning, you know.
Yeah.
And I said, ooh, what's that? Heaven or what? I mean, they have beautiful voices. Not because of my sisters.
Yeah.
And we got so. But my mother had a bachelor's degree in the classical scene.
Oh, really?
But with 15 kids, she didn't do any concerts.
My goodness.
But she did play many other styles later on in her life, yeah.
Wow.
Sarah. And they used to call me Junior because my father's name is Laurent.
Okay.
But I was born in Amherst, so the window down's not French.
You know? So, yeah.
And Richard Betts. So that's how it happened. And at the age of seven, when they moved to Sherbrooke, I was very happy.
Wow.
To see this great town. It is, you know, it's beautiful here.
It's a beautiful town, and there's a feeling about Sherbrooke.
And the Eastern Townships, Lennoxville, North Hatley, Magog.
So at seven, when you were seven, the family moved here. Now, was that the whole gang, or were there
most
some of
them,
your...
Most of them, because some of them were gone, but we were about like at 10 or 12.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I went to French school. You know, as soon as I got here, I went to French school.
So yeah, here in the city of Sherbrooke.
Almost totally bilingual.
I think as long as we can get by it for good conversations
cool.
and to get
That's
the stuff
good.
We need exactly, we'll get our points across. So making the transition from the was it a culture shock, like from Amherst to coming to Sherbrooke?
It was Christmas. I was so happy to see this place because Amherst, I don't know if you've been to Amherst.
I have been to Amherst.
But it's not like, you know, after the war, because my father didn't go to war because of that. The captain sent him back because of many kids.
Mm-hmm.
But he worked for Canadair, you know, the where they made planes.
Yes,
you know?
The airline.
And, when that was finished, when the war was finished, the only thing they would make, to me anyway, nice people, you know?
Yeah.
But only coffins and sell flowers.
Yeah.
And you know, so One of his friends told him, Mr. Burgo, he said, hey, come to Sherbrooke at the Ingersoll Rand. There's work. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So he sold the house because he had a grade two, okay?
Yeah.
But he was a creator of things to mm-hmm. help people.
Mm-hmm.
So he created something with his, when he did that, when he scratched his head, that meant he had something in mind.
Yeah. It was like there was an idea.
So he made a design for a certain job that the man had to do. Because he was like, not manager, but he was managing like 40, 50 after 2-3 months, you know.
Yeah.
Because he was good to them. He didn't want them to work all night. So the next morning he showed this, design or plan.
Yeah.
And they said, hey, that's going to work out. So he got $500. Now, $500 in 1944 is a lot of money.
Wow, yeah.
At that time.
That would have been considerable.
So when he moved to Sherbrooke, he sold that. And Mama said, gee, that's hard, you know.
Yeah.
But she didn't regret it.
So arriving here in Sherbrooke with your family and really enjoying this move, being happy about this move, how did things progress for you musically once you got here? Was music still very much a part of your life and surroundings? How did you?
Yeah, listening when I was very young, like I say, when I heard Bushelan and Peck I was two, I guess.
Yeah.
That was a swing.
See, yeah.
And I jumped on a chair, so I couldn't have been 10 years old. And I said, what is that? I like that.
Yeah.
One day, I'll do things like that. So, actually, I played the piano without courses. From beginning at the age of 7, I would say, getting more serious at the age of 14, 16. Then my brother, Harold, my elder brother, which made a few guitars, was a good, very excellent guitarist in his style.
Yes.
He came back from Europe with his family, and he started playing this thing. He made his own amps, you know.
Really?
Like, this guy was not much. He studied by himself, you mm-hmm. know, like many people do.
It sounds like your family was really, were really people who's with active minds and imaginations that were creating was.
From first to last, mm-hmm. yeah. And I liked it so much that when he went for a ride in the afternoons to get some booze, which I couldn't drink at that time. I was only 16, but I took his guitar and I tried a few chords, and within 15 minutes I had 3-4 chords. You know?
Oh my goodness, really?
So asked him, I said, gee, I'd like to play guitar. I never stopped ever since.
It was just, that was it?
Yeah.
It was just that connection.
It was
an
8-hour a day, every day, 7 days a week.
Really?
So I think it's work. Talent is okay.
Yes.
But a lot of work, and without work being work.
It's the idea when you think of somebody honing a craft, like when you think of that expression, you know, somebody's honing a craft, it's to do so means that you're investing time and energy and taking the time to learn well and learn properly and learn new things too, you know?
That's why to read and to learn about harmony, I started giving courses.
Okay.
At the age of, 4 years after I started playing.
Yeah.
So then I had to, you know, I'd ask the student, what would you like to learn? And so sometimes it was classical and sometimes it was another two.
Yeah.
But I went home and I studied it with books.
Yeah.
So I did, I had at one point 100 students there, 50 a week, but not
wow.
the same.
Yeah, yeah.
Running all over town, but I loved it, you know. I could share something that I got too, you know.
And it's to see that inspiration in someone else too, like that hunger to learn it. And
I've seen a lot of talent, and I still do.
Yeah.
I mean, the more we advance, anyway, in my line, I noticed that there's a young man of 16 years old, and he's another genius, you know. Mm-hmm. Like he just doesn't play for fun. Now he's learning jazz harmony with me.
Wow.
So that's a lot of work, but he likes it so much. He's always doing that. He goes to school, but mm-hmm. in Lenoxville here. He lives in Lenoxville.
So what would you say now, when we talk about your style and the kind of music that once you realized how much you enjoyed playing the guitar, what would you say became your influences and the type of music that you play?
Well, to begin with, when I started guitar, I thought I couldn't sing.
Okay.
Because my brother, Joseph, was closest to me. He had taking courses, you know. Mm-hmm. Millionaires came along and they dressed them up and they took courses. So yeah. I was a bit afraid. But I started practicing, like I said, 8 hours, but listening 10 hours, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because playing and listening for me was very important. So I started with Django Reinhardt and then Django Reinhardt.
Yeah.
And Chet Atkins, not that I wanted to learn how to pick like him.
He wow.
Double picking stuff. I didn't want to play like anybody else, so.
Yeah.
But I loved the way he played. And then I went from on and on to Joe Pass and, oh my God, and a lot of piano players that I, orchestrations. I started with film music mm-hmm. because I wanted to learn harmony. Now, this was my ear, and, you know, I had to listen to this minor seven flat five, let's say.
Okay.
Half diminished. Now, when Henry Mancini's playing it with the orchestration, I learned it, you see. But a lot of listening and trying, and then I got it. Then it went on to something else. So I can write orchestrations, but you see, I've got 10 fingers here.
Yes.
these two here, my thumb and this finger, is the pick.
Okay.
And I call it pianistic. Pianistic.
Okay.
I do chords like that. So I play the solo, and when I accompany, I can play the solo in chords too.
Oh my goodness. So your index finger and your thumb are picking, and then your middle ring and small finger are all...
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's not the same as just picking, plucking the
yes.
strings,
mm-hmm.
you know? It's not the same at all.
And it's two different kinds of sounds, and it's different directions. It's different. So what you can do with the sound must be remarkable.
Incredible. It's incredible. There's so many beautiful styles. You know, I respect every style, though that's well done.
Yeah.
You know.
It's about taking the time to really express something, right?
And
to,
exactly.
Yeah. So that can take so many different variations. So what would you say have been some of the musical experiences that you've had that you've enjoyed the most? Like what for you has
no,
been?
I enjoy them all.
Yeah.
Maybe there's an exception, but I forgot about that one.
your style.
But anyway, well, I think I was blessed because. In a certain way, not that I'm religious, I'm not into religion, I respect them. But there were people that would come to me and say, hey, would you like to play with me? And they came from like the best in Sherbrooke, you mm-hmm. know, they had their degrees, and I was by ear, I couldn't read. The Afro-Americans came over, and then Sherbrooke, they say, hey, where's the guitar player? Well, it's Niles, you know.
Yeah.
So it made me feel like, gee, I think maybe I'm getting pretty fair. You know?
Yeah.
I wasn't that confident, but you know that this helps. You know, when someone has this confidence.
Yeah, absolutely.
Somebody told him to ask me, so that's good.
That's a good sign.
Often, yeah. I even backed shows there later on at the age of 24. With an Afro-American, Marvin Rudisell, and he played beautiful saxophone. And we were at Lake Brunton backing international shows. Now, this was by ear.
Wow.
So I would be on coffee, of course. But in the afternoon, you know, we'd rehearse and just play it at night.
Wow.
We had some very good artists that went by there. I was packed to people.
So this is something that's been, it's just been consistently a part of who you are. The music is seems like to be just that strongest part of your of your personality, of your
it just possesses me.
Yeah,
I would say, because I can wake up at 4:30 in the morning, and I'm not noisy on a guitar. I got a few. Two is enough. But I got this classical, so I don't, you know, if I'm writing an arrangement like I did this morning for a composition, I'll be playing one of the compositions I'll be playing at Pierre Gobet's place here.
Yes.
In Rock Forest on the 25th of February. There are a few, and I just wrote one this morning, rewrote it for the bass player.
Amazing.
And I'm always very satisfied once it's done, because when I began, it takes a lot of time to compose a tune.
Yeah.
But at one time, in the 80s, 86, I was in a small room and writing like many, many hours a day. And, you know, I realized I had 400 creations that were composed once I got out of there 6 months after.
That's incredible.
Yeah, so I took that and put it in the drawers. I never threw it away. So now I took them back out. And there's a lot of people. Well, I did record some of them.
Yes.
Montreal Blues, Puerto Vallarta Sunset. That's one of the CDs that I'll bring to you. It's
yes.
Larry Niles, but it's Urban Monk.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That's not me that decided that. That was Jean Cousteau, which produced that part of my record in Stansted, yeah.
Oh, right.
Very nice man. And I was with guys like Jean-Jacques Beauchamp, Guy Breton, Richard Bergeron, and me.
Well,
and Jean-Denis Zubik, of course, on the as a saxophone player.
So what an amazing thing to be able to find those kindred spirits in music to collaborate with and perform with. That's amazing. Now you're going to be playing around town the next little while, and we'll make sure that we list all of those dates for the audience, so they know where they can have a chance to go in.
That would be very nice.
And witness you playing.
Because we're having a lot of fun on stage.
Heck yes. Well, you know what? When it's a part of you, it's not just the musician that becomes possessed. It's the whole gang.
And everybody else. You know?
Exactly. By that
the right
music.
Song at the right time.
Sure.
And softly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it's a show, then, but if it's a rest place to eat.
Sure.
Like the Antiquarius.
Yes.
On Wellington Street North. And like at the Cafuccino in Sherbrooke, I played there. I will be playing again.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm playing in Magog at the Cafuccino right now.
Oh, that's great.
Every
well,
2 weeks, yeah.
So nice to have these venues around that have that different vibe to it, too. You know, it's got that where people are ready to sit there, have a good meal, and listen to great music.
Yeah, and they always come to us and say, you know, we like that. You know, there's no price for that.
Yeah.
There's no material price for that.
No.
It's to that's I think each one of us has a mission. But our mission as artists, painter or musician like I am, and we are the group, because it's Niles and Friends. It's not just the same group all the time.
Sure.
I think we're there to share what we've got, you know. It's very satisfying. Very satisfying.
Well, then it's most definitely going to be satisfying to your audience.
Well, they satisfy us. You
see, yeah.
You start by saying hello. And by the way, I want to thank Mr. Tim Brink.
Yes.
I hadn't seen him in a few years. I used to go at the jam sessions for the blues session.
Mm-hmm.
We had about 10, 15 years ago. So last year I went for a walk in the spring, and when I got at that, you know, at the Antiquarius, which I hadn't been for years, he was coming out of the door and he says, "Hey, I was looking for you." So I said, "What is this?" Because he had seen me downstairs. You see,
yes.
I play with Kokorwa and the whole bunch of good musicians. The English bluesman too that I know them all, but if I name him, I'm going to have to write all those down.
You'll be here for ages.
Yeah. And it was real nice sessions. Real nice sessions, yeah. I just did a tune, you know.
Sure.
I played the tune in chords, but for a blues, you know, like. And that's what they decided to put first. I said, why me? I didn't sing. But it was different. So, you know, I've got good friends. So Tim is really a big part in our lives, the musicians here, that work hard,
yes,
talent and work hard, and are serious. You know, are serious, I mean, that do the job. If it's 6 o'clock, it's not 20 after 6.
Nope, you know? That's it.
So I've been used to that, and a personality too, and he can sing like, wow.
Has he ever got a personality on stage, eh? That is one charismatic fellow.
Oh, yes. I'm learning a lot from these people. Oh, yes.
Well, they're sharing among artists too, and boy, is there ever a lot of talent in the Eastern Townships too.
That's what I told Radio Canada the other day. I called them up in Sherbrooke.
Yeah.
And I like... In a way, I was polite, but I told him off.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you know what? Because I said, now I'm not talking in my name. I'm talking in the name of artists.
Sure.
Here. I've been doing it for 50 years. How come that we never hear much of the people that live in the Eastern Townships?
These.
On camera.
Yeah.
In the street.
Sure.
Within 20 minutes, I was there. I called her up. I called someone up, and very nice she was. But it was the only way that I could get an answer. If I phoned up there, they would never call back.
Yeah.
So that was kind of, I didn't know what was going on here. Are they that busy? So I called the right place.
Sure, you sure did.
At the station, Sunday noon. And the lady was very nice. And so she said, be down at a certain store where we're going to be advertising, and in 20 minutes. Okay. So I go down, and about three quarters of an hour later, I'm on scene, you know.
Wow,
it only
really?
Lasted maybe 2 minutes, but I had to say it.
Well, you know what? It's about sometimes we have to make our presence known.
Not just mine.
No, but I mean as
ours.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. As artists of the Eastern Townships.
In the name of the great artists we have here.
Sure. Wow. Oh, well, you know, Larry Niles, what an honor. It's been to have you here.
It's an honor for me, too.
It's so exciting.
Mrs. Quinn.
That's right.
Miss Quinn. Mrs. Quinn. Yes.
An absolute honor. And we'll be listing the show times and schedule for your upcoming shows very shortly. And we'll make sure that our audience is aware of when you're going to be on the stage. Because you guys need to experience this. That's all I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, I thank you very much for inviting me over. And I'll be bringing you something, if you wish.
Wonderful.
CD, The Urban Monk. And that was made already a few years ago, but it's okay. I like it.
Great.
Good musicians. Excellent. And now I've got three that are coming out this year because they're done. They're done. They're never done. But the accompaniment and the background is there, and the voice is there. But certain things, I'm never quite satisfied.
Yeah.
So I've got lots of time. I've got all my life.
It's I love
in no
it.
No rush.
Larry Niles, thank you so much.
I thank you very much.
As birds fly to the sea. I'm in motion, in and through the universal kingdom of God, the universal kingdom of God. Harmony is our destiny. We're in motion, in and through the universal kingdom of God, the universal kingdom of God. Yeah. Yeah. A song of joy Jesus gave to me. Peace and compassion is the key of the universal kingdom of God, the universal kingdom of God. Faith is the light of eternal life, we are in motion, in and through the universal kingdom of God, the universal kingdom of God. Yeah.